Pushkin.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. You know, I love music, but I haven't picked up an instrument in years. You know why? I tell myself, I don't have time. Where am I going to find a teacher? Well, there's an answer. Musora. Musora is the place where you can learn essential skills and techniques with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians and thousands of famous songs. You get 7 days totally free to try it out, and then it's just $30 per month, less than a single private lesson. Just go to musora.com to start a new musical journey today.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hi everyone, it's Paul Muldoon. Before we get to this episode, I wanted to let you know that you can binge all 12 episodes of McCartney, A Life in Lyrics right now, ad-free, by becoming a Pushkin Plus subscriber. Find Pushkin Plus on the McCartney, A Life in Lyrics show page in Apple Podcasts or at pushkin.fm/plus.
The organizers of this civil rights march promised that they would be nonviolent.
This seemed to us to be a perfectly peaceful demonstration that had gone wrong and that our army boys had acted indiscriminately and had fired on innocent people.
The army have said throughout the day that they hope to use minimum force. But 3 hours after the procession began, this has ended up, as dusk comes onto the bogside, as the worst ever confrontation between the army and the Catholic people of the Craigan and Bogside.
It just seemed so sort of wrong to me that even though I wasn't a writer of protest songs, I just felt I had to try and say something about this. Why don't you just give Ireland back?
I'm Paul Muldoon. For a while now, I've been fortunate to spend time with one of the greatest songwriters of our era.
And will you look at me? I'm going on tour. I'm actually a performer.
That is Sir Paul McCartney. We worked together on a book looking at the lyrics of more than 150 of his songs. And we recorded many hours of our conversations.
It was like going back to an old snapshot album. Looking back on work I hadn't ever analysed.
This is McCartney, A Life in Lyrics, a masterclass, a memoir, an improvised journey with one of the most iconic figures in popular music. In this episode, Give Ireland Back to the Irish. One might well ask who had taken Ireland from the Irish. When Ireland gained independence from England in 1922, the northern region of the island remained under British rule. Those who felt Northern Ireland should continue forever as a part of the United Kingdom were known as loyalists, and so for decades they were locked in conflict with Republicans, those who wished for a united Ireland with no tie to Great Britain. This was all further complicated by centuries of antagonism in the country between Catholics and Protestants, and it burst into political violence in the late 1960s and 70s, a period called the Troubles. British soldiers were installed in border towns and the Northern Ireland capital of Belfast. The mainly Catholic Irish Republicans who lived in Northern Ireland came to feel that they resided under a kind of occupation. On Sunday, the 30th of January, 1972, British soldiers shot 26 unarmed civilians at a peaceful protest in the Northern Irish city called Derry. Several of the victims were shot while fleeing from the soldiers, and others were shot while trying to help the wounded. There's an image from that day of a priest, Father Daly, moving through the crowd with his white handkerchief held out as a flag of truce that's absolutely seared on my mind's eye.
Father, how many dead have you seen in the bogside?
Appearing to be dead, there are the three in that Saracen car. There are two men lying at the end of this block of flats. There's another man at least very close to being dead. There's one, there are two others up there.
14 people died. The incident became known as the Bogside Massacre or Bloody Sunday.
There was immediately a cover-up. No, they weren't innocent. They had rifles and all that. But when you saw the footage of it all, it just looked, they could have just left these people to be. And if the people had shot, then maybe, you know. But it seemed to me like it was a reasonable demonstration, the kind of which had been happening in the black communities and in all sorts of communities throughout recent history and throughout history. So I was kind of shocked by this whole idea, mainly that our soldiers had perpetrated this, because up to that point I thought our boys were all great. Mm-hmm. I was a great supporter.
Great Britain, you are tremendous.
Just started to think, wait a minute, you know, what if there were Irish soldiers behaving that way in Liverpool, where I was growing up, and you couldn't go here, you couldn't go there, because these soldiers with guns, armed soldiers, were going to stop you going down the street. And so it just seemed so sort of wrong to me. Why don't you get a united Ireland and get them sorted out?
Ireland back to the Irish. Don't make them have to take it away. Get Ireland back to the Irish. Make Ireland Irish today.
Even though the Beatles were writing in the 1960s, during what seemed like a renaissance of protest music, they had never released a song that was overtly political. After the dissolution of the Beatles, however, McCartney went to New York and paid a visit to John Lennon and Yoko Ono in Greenwich Village, where political art was very much part of the zeitgeist.
This song's called The Luck of the Irish. And the proceeds from this song and record will go to the Civil Rights Defence of North Ireland. Civil Defence, whatever it's called.
John and Yoko had written The Luck of the Irish at the end of 1971, inspired by a protest they attended the year before in support of the Irish Republican Army.
If you had the luck of the Irish, you'd be sorry and wish you were dead. You should have the luck of the Irish, and you'd wish you was English instead.
In early 1972, in a furious response to the Bogside Massacre, John and Yoko also wrote Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Well, it was Sunday, bloody Sunday, when the shot the people there, to cry the 30 mark, fill the free dairy air. Is there anyone amongst you dare to blame it on the kids? Not a soldier boy was bleeding when they nailed the coffin lid.
McCartney was similarly furious about the British soldiers' unprovoked attack on Irish civilians, even though he's rarely found anger to be generative for his art.
I realise this, actually, that sometimes I really want to sit down and write a song that sums up my dismay and anger at the political situation that I read about every bloody morning, you know, and I read about politicians saying this and this and this and this. And it's like, God, what a twerp. This guy is a complete idiot, you know. So I'll sit down and think, okay, you are an idiot, but I can't do it. It doesn't really work. I wrote a song that was called Angry that was an attempt at that, but it's not angry. You know, it seems to be something I can feel in myself. But I can't easily translate that into a song. Yeah, so that's not one of my genres.
McCartney may not feel protest music is an easy genre to access, but Give Ireland Back to the Irish is a passionate protest song. Instead of focusing on anger and accusations, though, the song is an appeal for empathy, asking the British to imagine themselves in Irish shoes.
Tell me.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply. Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out, and then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Life in Lyrics? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora: to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to musora.com, M-U-S-O-R-A.com, to start a new musical journey today.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
McCartney wrote Give Ireland Back to the Irish from the British perspective, but the conflict in Ireland must have struck a personal chord due to his family's Irish roots. In fact, the two opposing sides represented in the Troubles were replicated within McCartney's own household.
My mum was Catholic, being more Irish than my dad. My dad was like Liverpool Irish when a few generations back. My mum was a bit more recent from Ireland. And so she was Catholic. My dad was Protestant.
Great Britain and all the people say that people must be free. And meanwhile, back in Ireland, there's a man who looks like me.
Do you mean looks like me because I look Irish myself?
What it means is... No, not really. I wasn't thinking that deeply into it. But I see that now as I'm kind of rereading it. No, I was more meaning that it could be me.
Yes, it could be.
This guy, this could be me. You know?
Right.
If we're talking about England, where we were, how would you like it if on your way to work? So this man who looks like me, it's just a way of saying, you know, he's just like you, I could have said.
Yeah.
Well, he's just like you and me.
Yeah, he's not other.
Right.
And he dreams of God and country. And he's feeling really bad.
As I revisited this song, I couldn't help but think about my own childhood in County Armagh, just one county over from County Monaghan, where Paul McCartney's family had lived.
Were you involved in the Troubles?
Not as an active participant.
No.
No.
No. You're Irish. You were there around about that time.
I was.
Wouldn't be inconceivable.
No, not at all. It could easily have happened, honestly. But my mother, I think very like your mother, was a very protective person. And you know, she wanted us to do well in the world. And she didn't want us to get involved in these guys who were down at the end of the lane.
This period of history has, of course, crept into my own poetry. There's a poem, for example, called Ireland, which goes as follows. Ireland. The Volkswagen parked in the gap, but gently ticking over. You wonder if it's lovers and not men hurrying back across two fields and a river. With that somewhat ominous feel at the end there of men probably armed, probably up to no good, going about their business in the country. And the river, of course, representing the separation of those two fields.
So when you talk about that in your poems,
yes,
you're recounting stuff.
Just while I was there, being a person on the street. Yes.
Yeah, with it all happening around you, yeah.
And he's sitting in a prison. Say, should he lie down?
Paul McCartney was still on his trip to New York when he heard news of Bloody Sunday. He rushed to organise a recording of the track with some of the musicians from his new band, Wings. It was the first Wings recording that included the guitarist Henry McCulloch, who was himself a Northern Irishman.
So we made the record, and then I sent it over to EMI, immediately got a phone call from Sir Joseph Lockwood, was the head of EMI. But Sir Joe, he said, Paul, you can't put this record out of the Irish situation. I said, look, Sir Joe, he said, the thing is, I'm not really a protest songwriter, but this is affecting me deeply, and I feel like I've got to say something. He said, oh, you can't. He said, please don't put it out. Reconsider. So I gave it a couple of days and I just rang back and said, no, you know, I've got to put it out. He said, it'll be banned. It'll get banned on BBC and everything. He said, well, no good for you. Well, I don't care. I've got to make a statement. This thing was big enough event in my history, in my country's history, to take some kind of a stand.
Joseph Lockwood's concerns about the song were perhaps vindicated. When the song was released, the BBC, Radio Luxembourg and other organisations banned it from broadcast. It was too provocative, they said, too controversial. Most radio stations in the United States also avoided playing the song.
The British Broadcasting Corporation won't play your song. What do you think about that?
I think they're silly, you know. I think any kind of repression like that, you know, it always ends up in the person who is being banned getting more out of it than the people who ban it. Witness this, you know, you want an interview about it, it's such big news because they ban it and all that.
On an ABC special report, McCartney was explicit in his support of the Irish nationalists.
You think the British should get out?
Yeah, you know, eventually, that's what I think, yeah. I was brought up to be proud of it, you know, the British Empire. You know, we used to own most of the world at one time, almost. Gradually had to sort of give it back, because people said, hey, listen, it's ours, you know, not yours, and they wanted it back. Well, I just see that's the same thing in Ireland, you know, it's a little bit of territory we've gained in the past. And I think this Bloody Sunday, you know, where the British parachute regiment went in and sort of shot at the people, me as a British citizen, I don't like my army going around shooting my Irish brothers. In a way, if people are shooting at them, they can't just sit there and not shoot back, you know. So whilst I don't dig it, it's inevitable, you know, that if they get shot at, they'll shoot back.
Give Ireland Back to the Irish may have been banned in Britain and overlooked in America, but in Ireland, it hit number one on the charts. It also, curiously, hit number one in Spain, where McCartney believes it may have resonated with the Basque struggle for self-determination. Much of the violence surrounding the Troubles came to an end with the 1998 Good Friday Agreement, which restored self-government to Northern Ireland. But the aftershocks of Bloody Sunday still reverberate. And they raise questions about what, if any, punishment should be faced by those involved in the killings.
It was a moment where, you know, there was a sense that art could respond to that situation, which, by the way, is a situation that still hasn't really been resolved. Bloody Sunday itself.
No, I know. This is a very thorny issue.
Give Ireland Back to the Irish, a single released by Paul McCartney and Wings in February 1972. In the next episode...
John, being older and at art school, would go to art school parties, which me and George normally wouldn't have an entree into. Mm-hmm. But I remember going to one and I took my guitar, so I'm sitting enigmatically in the corner with my black polo neck sweater on. I remember sort of lounging around and trying to look interesting to this older crowd. So one of the weapons that I used was to play this sort of Frenchy sounding song and sort of make guttural noises. Kind of half thinking that someone will think, well, he's French probably.
Michel. That's next time on McCartney, A Life in Lyrics. McCartney, A Life in Lyrics is a co-production between iHeartMedia, MPL, and Pushkin Industries.
Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. You know, I love music, but I haven't picked up an instrument in years. You know why? I tell myself, I don't have time. Where am I going to find a teacher? Well, there's an answer. Musora. Musora is the place where you can learn essential skills and techniques with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians and thousands of famous songs. You get 7 days totally free to try it out, and then it's just $30 per month, less than a single private lesson. Just go to musora.com to start a new musical journey today.